Now, if we haven't met, my name is Mike. I'm one of the pastors on staff here, and just excited to have everybody here with us as we are launching a brand new series today entitled Twisted. And with this series, what we're going to do is we're going to look at some of the most commonly misquoted, misapplied, or twisted verses in the Bible in our culture today. And one of the reasons we're doing this series is, for example, anybody ever had their words twisted by another person? Like, you know, you were saying one thing, you were meaning one thing, and that person you were talking to is totally hearing and applying a different meaning to it, right? So, like, maybe you were talking to your spouse. Your spouse would never do that, right? Yeah, maybe you're talking to your spouse, or you're talking to your teenage child, or your parent, or a friend, and you're saying and you're meaning one thing. And by the time you get done, they've got you saying and meaning something completely different. And then you find yourself on the defense and you're like, whoa, 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 I never said that. I never meant that. Now, show of hands, who enjoys having that done to them? Right? Just the masochist in the back there, right? I mean, people, you don't like that. Nobody likes that, right? Here's the thing. Just like we don't like having our words twisted into something we never meant for them to mean, God doesn't like having his words twisted into something he never meant for them to mean either. And the thing is, we probably all know somebody who does that. Like, you ever run into that person, they'll take something and out of the Bible, and you know, and they'll say, hey, this is what this means, and you find yourself kind of scratching your head, and you're like, I don't think that means what you think it means, right? We get a fun example of this from comedian John Criss. Now, if you're not familiar with John, he does a satire. So before you get offended with him, it's a satire of the church lady who always does this. And I'm sure we don't have any ladies here at Faith who do this. But he does this fun satire of the church lady who's forever twisting what the Bible is saying to just match up with whatever's going on in his life. And if you're not familiar with John, we're about to introduce you to him. Let's watch the video together.
I was going to go to Macy's, but Dillard's is having a sale. Man plans his steps, but the Lord directs his path. Look at these purses. Excuse me, this is fashion now? Lean not on your own understanding. Oh, Spencer's Gifts? Guard your heart. Finish line? Oh, yes, run the race I have set before you. 30% off all things work together for good. Oh, would you look at these here? Run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. No, thank you. I don't need any skincare samples. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Oh, there's Starbucks, thank heaven, streams in the desert. Look at these watches for such a time as this. Look at all this baggage. No, thank you. I have left my burdens at the cross. Oh, I love this bedding. Yes, all who are weary, he will give you rest. Look at these knives. These are perfect. Iron sharpens iron. Oh, man does not live by bread alone. Hey, Adam, you want to take a bite of this? Man's original sin. Microsoft only for me, thank you. Oh, Lululemon, he will not tempt you beyond what you can handle. Oh, Zales, absolutely not. My treasure is in heaven. Payless is having a sale. Lead me not into temptation. Oh, judge all you want to. You without sin cast the first stone. Oh, love this hat. Look at this. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. I will dwell in the Nestle Toll House of the Lord forever. I come all the way in here for a sale and they don't have my size. Jesus, please, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion.
Now, that can be fun, all right, you know, when it's on the video. But you run into somebody and they take the Bible and they're trying to twist it and all of a sudden it gets serious. And it becomes a problem because whether a person means to or not, whether they realize they're doing it or not, when we take the Bible and we twist it, what we end up doing is we end up applying God's authority in a way he never meant for it to be applied. Whether we mean to or not, whether even we're aware or whether or not we're doing it, we end up putting words into the mouth of God himself that he never spoke. That's just a dangerous thing to do. And so because here at Faith, we really believe that the Bible is God's word to us, it's important to us here to try and get what God is saying right. So I was doing research for series, and I came across a series by Craig Rochelle, and I thought, this is good. I want to do a version of this here at Faith. And so what we're going to do in this series is each week, again, we're going to look at one of the most misquoted, misapplied, twisted verses of the Bible. And we're gonna look at, okay, what is the twist? What are people trying to make God out to having said here? And then we're going to try and figure out, okay, what did God really mean to communicate when he inspired the authors of this book to write these words? Now, there are some tools that we're going to use to try and help us with this, all right? And we're going to use these tools throughout this series. We won't necessarily use every single tool every single week, but these tools will help us get to the bottom of what God was really trying to communicate. They'll help us properly understand these twisted verses, and the fun thing is you could use these tools to properly understand any verse in the Bible. So here they are. Tool number one. We're going to explore a verse in the greater context that it was given in. Because you see, one of the best ways to misunderstand another person, whether it's you or me or God, is to take what they've said out of the context that they've said it in. We do this all the time with media and politics. Whether you're red or blue, Democrat, Republican, left or right, you know, whoever is in office, the opposing media loves to do this. Right? You want to misunderstand somebody, just take a snippet of what they've said out of the context that they've said it in. You can spin it any way you want. We're going to try and look at the greater context that a verse was given in. Second tool is this. We're going to interpret Scripture with Scripture. And what I mean by that is we're going to recognize when the Bible says something about a topic, that verse isn't the only place the Bible speaks to that topic. And so we're going to look at some other places that the Bible speaks to that topic. We're going to try and develop an integrated theology. We're going to recognize that there's more than one thing said about a given topic, and it's our job to try and look at a number of those things, not zoom in on just one part and go sideways. And then tool number three, we're going to seek to apply it. See, the Bible was never meant to be a book that we simply study. It's meant to be a book that we live. And if somebody comes to you and says, hey, here's what the Bible means, and you can't practically live into that, or another person in another place couldn't possibly live into that, we would do well to take a step back and question whether or not we've understood what the Bible is saying correctly. So those are the three tools that we're going to use throughout this series. Now, the verse that we're going to look at, that we're going to start off with today, is a verse that is so commonly twisted in our culture today. It's a quote from Jesus himself, from Matthew chapter 7. Here's what Jesus says. He says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." Do not judge. Jesus said it. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. Now, have you ever had somebody quote that verse at you? Yeah. Chances are when they did, maybe with a little bit of attitude, you know, the head's going back and forth. Maybe a little bit of aggression, something along the lines, you know, hey, do not judge or you too will be judged, you know. Or maybe they got fancy and they quoted at you in King James, judge not, lest ye too be judged, right? You're thinking, what am I, Shakespeare, eh? Or maybe they quoted the modern American version of that verse to you. Don't be judging me, right? Now, what's going on when somebody quotes that verse at you? More often than not, what you have is, you know, like I'll be doing something, right? I'll be making and living into some kind of life choice. And you come along and you see what I'm doing. And you actually have the audacity to make a judgment call about the morality of my behavior as to whether or not it is right or wrong. And so I will fire back at you, hey, don't be judging me. And whether I believe in the Bible or not, whether I believe Jesus ever existed and walked the face of the planet or not is irrelevant at that time. All of a sudden, I'll quote him now. And I'll be like, hey, don't be judging me. Don't you read your Bible? I thought you were supposed to be a Christian. Why don't you do what your Bible says? Don't you know Jesus said you shouldn't judge or you're going to be judged, right? And really, beneath the surface of that, what I'm trying to say is you don't know me. You haven't walked in my shoes. You haven't been through what I've been through. You don't know the reasons I have for doing what I'm doing. And since I'm really not hurting anybody, and you're not perfect either, you have no right. You have no right to make a judgment call about the morality of my behavior. In our culture today, more often than not, when Jesus gets quoted here, What we're trying to do in our culture today is make Jesus out to mean this. When Jesus says, don't judge, or you too will be judged, we are trying to say that Jesus meant, you have no right to say that another person's behavior is right or wrong for them. You have no right to make a judgment call about the morality of somebody's behavior. Instead, you should be tolerant. You should be tolerant of their decisions. You should be tolerant of their behaviors. You should be tolerant of what they believe, no matter how different it is from what you believe. That understanding of the words of Jesus is so pervasive in our culture today. So, to try and understand what it was that Jesus meant to communicate when he did utter those words, what we're going to do today is try and ask and answer three questions. So here they are. Question number one. Does it really make sense that you have no right to make a judgment call about my behavior, and you should just simply tolerate whatever it is I believe and do? Does that really make sense? Question number two. Do I really believe that that is how life should work beyond the situation at hand? Or do I act like I believe that's how life should work beyond the situation at hand, but really, I'm just trying to apply it to this situation? And then question number three, is that what Jesus really meant to communicate when he uttered those words? What we're going to do is we're going to start with those first two questions, and we'll move more quickly through them, and then we'll spend the lion's share of our time on number three. So questions one and two, does it really make sense? You've got no right to make a judgment call about my behavior, and you should just tolerate what I do, right? And Matt can get that tattoo, Faith Covenant Church, across his belly and just, you know, take off his shirt. You got no right to make a judgment call about that. You just need to tolerate Matt's decisions, right? Does that really make sense? Do we really believe that that's how life should work beyond the situation at hand? Yeah, I'm telling you right now, you just think about it a little bit. The answer to both those questions is no. Let me try and illustrate this for you. For example, the whole idea, if you think about it, the whole idea is a self-contradicting one. See, when I'm doing something and you come along and you have the audacity to make a judgment call about my behavior, and I fire back at you with, hey, don't be judging me. You have no right to make a judgment call about whether my behavior is right or wrong. You are simply supposed to tolerate what I believe. What have I just done? I've just made a judgment call about your behavior. And I have just been intolerant of what you have done. There's no way, that this whole idea that you have no right to make a judgment call about my behavior, you should just tolerate that. There's no way I can call you out on that without doing that myself. The whole idea is a self-contradicting one. In addition to that, you don't have to chase this very far down the road of logic before you're like, okay, this is crazy. And nobody believes this is how life is supposed to work beyond the situation at hand. Then let me try and illustrate this. And we'll start off with silly, and then we'll get more serious. So for example, do you have the right to make a judgment call about somebody's bad haircut? Right? Do you have a right to make a judgment call about the person sitting next to you in church and their bad haircut? And don't look at them right now. Just eyes forward, okay? Right here, you and me, all right? But the person next to you, their lettuce is all mangled, you know? Can you make a judgment call about that? What if that person's your teenager and they've got a profane word shaved into the side of their head? You just going to tolerate that, mom and dad? What if this is your parent or grandparent and they're going bald and they're trying to hide that with a big old sweeping comb over, right? I mean, you have a judgment, you have the right to make a judgment call about that, right? Or what if someone's cheating on their SATs to try and get into a better school? Can you say something then? What if their cheating on their SATs is going to allow them to get your spot because it's better than your legitimate SAT scores? Do you just tolerate it? What if someone isn't cheating on their SATs? What if they're cheating on their spouse? You have a right to say that's not okay or not? What if they're cheating with your spouse? Will you say something then? What if someone uses their position of authority at work to keep another person from advancing vocationally simply because of the color of their skin? Should we just tolerate that? What if someone straps explosives onto their body and they walk into a hospital and they detonate those explosives? You have no right to say that that is wrong because you haven't walked a mile in that person's shoes. You don't know where they've been. What if somebody is stealing other people's identities and using those stolen identities to drain those individuals' bank accounts? Can you say something then? If they drain your bank account, you going to say something? What if someone's trying to force young teenage girls into human trafficking? You have a right to make a judgment call there? If they're trying to force your daughter into human trafficking, are you just going to tolerate that? So you don't have to chase this very far down the road of logic before this idea that you never have a right to make a judgment call. That's just crazy. That we mean for this to apply to life across the board. That's nuts. Practically speaking, you can't live that out. So, if that's not what Jesus meant to communicate, when he said, do not judge, or you too will be judged, what then did Jesus meant? What did he mean to communicate? Well, let's take a look at that. Let's take a look at that. And we'll use our first tool to try and help us with this, all right? Let's look at what Jesus said in the context that he said it in. Now, Jesus uttered that statement in Matthew chapter 7. So, not rhetorical, what comes before Matthew chapter 7? Matthew chapter 6, not a trick question, all right? All right? So, Matthew chapter 6, you know what Jesus is doing? Making judgment calls. He's talking to the religious leaders of his day and telling them their behavior is wrong, that he's not going to tolerate it, and that they're a bunch of hypocrites for engaging in it. In verse 2, Jesus tells them, it's not okay for you to show off your good deeds so everybody will think you're righteous. In verse 5, he tells them, it's not okay to pray these big prayers so everybody will be so impressed with your prayer life. In verse 16, he tells them, it's not okay to look all miserable when you're fasting so everybody think you're so spiritual. In all three cases, he says, this is wrong. He fails to tolerate it. And he tells them they're hypocrites for living that way. And then, in chapter 7, Jesus says, do not judge or you too will be judged. But that's not all he says. He says, do not judge or you too will be judged, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And then he makes this statement next, and see if you can catch any themes from chapter 6. He says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, while all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You what? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. You look at Jesus' words in the context that he gave them in, and it's not hard to see. Jesus is not saying you can never make a judgment call. He's making them himself. Jesus is not saying you should be tolerant of whatever another person does or believes, because he's being intolerant. Jesus is instead, he's warning us about what to do as we make judgment calls. He's telling us that as we make them, it's not okay for me to pretend to be one thing on the outside while all the while I'm something different on the inside. He's telling me it's not okay to go hard after somebody while I'm doing the same thing myself. He tells me that when I act like that, I can expect to receive the same measure of grace that I've extended to another person. He says, hey, you're going to make judgment calls, but when you do, don't be a hypocrite about how you're doing it. Radically different thing. And here's the thing. If you explore what the Bible has to say about this topic in other places, if you interpret Scripture with Scripture, you will see in other places, the Bible calls us to make judgment calls. But like Jesus, it cautions us about how we do it. So let's do that next. Let's do some of this interpret Scripture with Scripture thing. Look at some other places where the Bible calls us to make judgment calls, but where it cautions us about how we do that. First caution the Bible gives us is this. It says, hey, when you make a judgment call, don't do so superficially. Don't do so superficially. Now, Jesus points this out. John chapter 7, Jesus says, stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. So there's Jesus again, telling us there's a time and a place to judge, but he tells us to do so correctly, not to do so superficially, not just to look at the surface, make this snap call when we don't have all the information. And you don't make a judgment call superficially because oftentimes that will lead you to thinking things, bad things about a person that aren't true, or thinking good things about a person that aren't true. So for example, I've been on staff here at Faith for about 5 months. Prior to that, I was on staff at another covenant church in Canton, right? Several colleagues there, several of them are friends of mine. So I had my friend Sam. Sam was a tech director at that church, and Sam had a birthday 1 year. He had a birthday every year, I don't know. Attention-seeking behavior on his part, whatever. So he had a birthday, and Ron, one of my other colleagues, Ron was the oldest person on staff. He's north of 70, did all our pastoral care, did an amazing job at it. Ron decides he's going to be culturally relevant. He's going to jump online and post Sam some birthday wishes. Here's what Pastor Ron posted. Happy birthday, brother. Hope you do someone special today to celebrate life. Yes, you read that right. Hope you do someone special today to celebrate life. Yeah. Now, some of you are thinking somebody needs to have a conversation with Ron about appropriate social media posts for covenant pastors, and you would be right, right? Now, but it's so easy to judge Ron superficially. And in doing so, think bad things about Ron that aren't true or good things about Ron that aren't necessarily true. Like, we can judge Ron superficially and be like, you got to be kidding me. Like, there's a line, and he is catapulted over that line. That is so inappropriate. What kind of sicko would do that? You tell me this guy's a credentialed covenant pastor? What kind of pastor would post something like that? Does the search team know you came from that church? We maybe need to rethink your presence here, right? We could be way harder on Ron than we should be. Or we could credit Ron with good things. Like, we could credit Ron with more spice in his jar than he ever meant to communicate or maybe even has, right? Like, we'd be like, well, Ron, my man, like, y'all, like, Ron is old, but he ain't cold, right? He ain't dead yet. There's some fire in the hole there, right? You know, I'll tell you what kind of pastor Ron is, a straight up player, right? You know, I need to go check that church out, right? Here's the thing, neither one of those is true. If you judge superficially, you oftentimes judge wrong. You're like, somebody needs to talk to Ron about his social media posts. You're right. And guess who got to do that? Me, yes, right? Here's what Ron is guilty of. Talk to text, post without proofread. If that's going to get you sent to hell, all kinds of people in here are in trouble today, right? I mean, it's just, that's all he did, right? So Jesus says, look, there's a time to make a judgment call. Don't do so superficially. Get beneath the surface. Don't make a snap decision here. You think you see something. You think you hear something. You think you know what it means. What you need to do to judge correctly is maybe you need to go to that other person and in all humility say something like, you know, I could be wrong, but this is what I think I heard. I could be wrong, but this is what I think I saw. I could be wrong. I think this is what it means. Is that correct? Right? And then you made it. We've said this before. You ain't God. You are not all-knowing. I am not all-knowing. We are not all-seeing, all-hearing. We don't always have all the information. There could be something happening we weren't aware of. And so you seek to get beneath the surface to not judge superficially so that you really can do this correctly. And who knows, you may have that conversation and discover there was information you didn't have. Or you may get beneath the surface and discover you were right and something needs to be done now, but you'll be judging correctly. So caution number one, don't judge superficially. Caution number two, don't judge foolishly. Don't judge foolishly. We see this from Paul. In the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. And as Paul writes to them, giving them instructions about how to interact with a member of their congregation, Paul gives them instructions that are impossible. Impossible to reconcile with the idea that I should never make a judgment call about right or wrong, and I should simply tolerate whatever another person believes or does. As Paul is giving these instructions, he's dealing with a member of their congregation who says they believe in Christ, who says they're following Jesus, who is engaged in sin, who knows they're engaged in sin. They don't care. They're just going to keep doing it, right? They're like, hey, yeah, I know this is what I'm doing. I'm doing it. I know it's wrong. I don't care. I'm doing it anyway. What do you think of me now, right? What else you got? And so Paul instructs that church for the well-being of the individual, their long-term spiritual health. Paul instructs that church for the integrity of that community to remove that person from church until they're ready to deal with the issue in their life. If judge not or you too will be judged means you can never make a judgment call about a person's behavior, you simply have to tolerate whatever they believe or do, I got news for you. Paul, the guy who wrote about half the books in our New Testament, he never got that memo. He's like, no. This person has to be removed until they're ready to deal with this issue. Now, as Paul's writing them, he makes an important distinction about different kinds of people. Here's what he says. He says, it is not my responsibility to judge outsiders. It's not my job, Paul's saying, to judge someone who is outside of the family of God. But it certainly is your responsibility to judge those inside the church who are sinning. God will judge those on the outside, but as the scripture says, you must remove the evil person from among you. So Paul's saying here that part of our job as members of the family of God is to make judgment calls with regards to the morality of the behavior of other people who are part of the family of God. But Paul's also telling us here that it's not our job necessarily to make judgment calls with people who are outside of the family of God. He's implying here that it's foolish for us to expect someone who's living outside of the family of God to behave as though they're a member of the family of God when they're not. That it is foolish for me as somebody who is following Jesus to expect somebody who isn't following Jesus to act as though they are following Jesus when they're not. It's like when our kids were growing up, you know, we had some simple rules. We had the golden rule, we had the rule of the roof. And it was simple. We have all the gold, we make all the rules, right? It is our, we provide the roof, we make the rules, you know? And so there was an expectation for our kids. These are the family rules, you're gonna follow the family rules. And as a parent, that's completely appropriate. But if I'm to come to your house and expect your kids to follow my family rules in your house, that is completely inappropriate. Doesn't matter if my rules are better than your rules. Doesn't matter if my rules make more sense than your rules. Doesn't matter if my rules are in your kids' best interest. That's your house, your kids, your rules. To expect somebody who's not part of the family of God to live as though they are, to expect somebody who is not following Jesus to behave as though they are following Jesus, is just foolish. Our job isn't to try and get somebody to act as though they're following Jesus when they're not. Our job as members of the family of God is to love those people and to in turn introduce them to a God who is far more capable of changing them than you and I are. Our job's to love them. God's job is to change them. So Paul says, hey, you're going to make judgment calls. Don't do foolishly. Jesus says, hey, you're going to make judgment calls. Don't do superficially. Then the third caution we're given is don't judge harshly. Don't judge harshly. Again, we're going to come back to Paul here. In Galatians, Paul writes, he says, brothers and sisters. So again, he's talking to the family of God, He says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, so here goes Paul again with this idea that there are things that are morally in bounds and out of bounds, and you might be saying something to each other about that. He says, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch out yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Paul's saying, hey, when you make a judgment call, it shouldn't be this harsh thing. You should do so gently and for the purpose of restoration. When you make a judgment call, it should never be gotcha, right? It shouldn't be like we're going to kick you when you're down. We should not be known for shooting our wounded. When I make a judgment call, I should come to you gently. Because when I come harsh, I'm going to make it worse. Like when somebody dislocates something, like a number of years back, I was on a BMX course with my son and we're racing. Stupid thing. I was too old for this, right? I go over the handlebars, third degree of my separation of my shoulder. My son says, yes, I'm going to win. I could hear it, right? You know? So I go to the hospital. They're trying to do x-rays. This little 90-pound woman is trying to do x-rays. I'm crying, begging her not to move my arm, right? Yeah. When somebody's physically hurt, if you're not gentle with them, you just make it worse. When somebody's in sin, something in their spiritual life is dislocated. And when we're harsh with that person, we only make it worse. So Paul says, hey, you're going to come, but you're going to come gently. And you're going to come with restoration as the motivating factor. This isn't a punitive thing. This isn't, you've been bad and now I'm going to punish you. You hurt me, now I get my pound of flesh, right? You did this and now you're going to pay. No, this is, I see your life is out of alignment with God's truth. And I know when your life is out of alignment with God's truth, that's going to hurt you, that's going to hurt other people around you. And I care enough to step into your world. I care enough about you and your well-being. This is what's motivating me. I care enough about you and your well-being to step in your world and be inconvenienced for your sake. I'm going to carry this burden with you in an effort to help you realign your life with God's truth. When I'm making a judgment call and I'm harsh instead of gentle, it's about, you know, being punitive instead of about restoring. There's something that's out of alignment in my life. So Paul says, make judgment calls, but do so gently and for restoration. So, did Jesus say, do not judge, or you too will be judged? He sure did. He sure did. Can't avoid that. Did he mean you can never make a judgment call about a person's behavior? You just have to tolerate whatever somebody else believes or says or thinks. If you look at what Jesus said in the context that he said it in, if you try and apply it to your life, if you interpret Scripture with Scripture, no, that's not what Jesus was saying. When Jesus uttered those words, he was warning us about how we make judgment calls. And Jesus and the other New Testament writers, they call us to make those calls, but they warn us not to do it hypocritically, not to do it superficially, not to do it foolishly, not to do it harshly. Would you stand with me, please? As we wrap things up today, we're going to receive our offering and close in a couple final songs. Before we do, we just want to create some space for you to interact with God. As we talk about this idea of speaking truth, about making judgment calls, if you know, like, there's some work for you personally in how you do that, we're going to take some time to pray, and I just invite you. Just pray with me silently to have a conversation with God. We talk to him about that. if at the same time, you know, we've been talking about this idea of being members of the family of God. If you're here today and you know that's not true of you, I want you to know something. God saw you doing life your way instead of His. God saw your sin and He made a judgment call. And in response to that, in love, He sent His Son to show you the way, to die to make right what we had made wrong, to offer us forgiveness and a new life. And so as we pray today, if you're not a member of the family of God and you're ready to be, again, I want to invite you to pray with me and to do that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you just for the Bible and for the truth that it brings us to our lives. Father, just some of us today, as we think about how we make judgment calls, if there's room for us to grow there, and you're telling us that, we just want to be honest with ourselves. We want to be honest with you. We want to acknowledge that. God, give us grace. Help us just to be self-aware and to live differently. Father, for some of us, as we consider all this, if we're perfectly honest with us and ourselves and with you, it's we know relationally we are far from you. We have sinned. Father, forgive us, please. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that He came and lived a sin-free life. That He died on the cross so that we could be made right with you. In this moment, we want to surrender all we are to Him. We want to place our faith in His life and His death and His resurrection. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.